Hello, welcome back to another Muscle and Hustle podcast. Sorry for the delay, folks. I'm just I'm literally in the door, an hour, 2 hours now at this stage. From New York, and internet was shite. Internet was actually shite the whole time, so it would never have gone.
Nice, Mickey, just it would never.
You know what? The last hotel I stayed in didn't even have Wi-Fi. How about that? Shocking. How about that? It didn't even have Wi-Fi.
A lot of places in Mexico here don't have Wi-Fi, though.
Well, this place didn't. It had no. It had a thing that said it was Wi-Fi, but once you hit the thing, it said it didn't exist. But
that's home. Worse than no Wi-Fi. That's fake Wi-Fi. That's the worst type of Wi-Fi. Cause the Wi-Fi where they tell you that you've got it, but it doesn't work.
And I kept putting in the password, and I was like, "Why is that not working?" And then I done it again and again. Went down to the boy, and the guy looked at him and goes, "I don't know what that is." And I says, "It says Palm Beach guest Wi-Fi." And he's like, "Nah." He goes, "Nah." He just goes, "Nah," and walked away. It's like, right, fair enough. Oh, but so overnight flight, JFK security, 90 minutes. Never. Really? Oh, nuts. Nuts. Like, people were missing flights all around the place. Lucky enough, I always, bring up the wait times for security to kind of plan my day, and it was real high all day, and I was like, fuck, we need to get to the airport early. Like,
you just go to the airport early. See, I have a American Express Platinum, and I always get the lounges then, but
yeah,
I really recommend the lounge. Like, what you pay in the most lounges, you'll make back, because if you buy any meal in the airport, it usually comes up to 20 or 30 quid by the time if you buy a sandwich and a couple of drinks for even the flight. You're better to spend 20 or 30 quid and get in the actual lounge, and you get unlimited food and unlimited drinks. So you sort of make your money. Plus, it's a far nicer experience. So I go early because I'll sit in the lounge, and I fucking hate rushing about last minute. I don't pull a, do you know the way your dad would make you go about 8 hours early? I don't pull a dad, but I am there well early just because I just hate rushing about last minute, stressing because you've decided to sit in your arse somewhere else instead of sitting on your arse in the airport.
Yeah, well, I would do that. But like somewhere like Belfast City Airport, I do keep it very minimal time because there's just nothing in that airport.
There's nothing to do.
And it's also, you're not going to be caught out in Belfast City because you just say to security boys, go here, lads, my flight's going, and they'll just let you through. But in like JFK, those people saying, like, my flight's going in an hour, and the guy goes, I don't care. And she goes, no, it's up to you to get us through. And he goes, no, it's up to you to be here on time. And she's like, I am here on time. And he's like, not my problem. It was nuts. Like, nope. I love their attitude. He was just like, you're not the first to say this to me today. He goes, it's what it is. And he said, search dogs and stuff out the muscle. I don't know, they must have thought something was going down. But we're back. Tony's still in Mexico, and I'm in beautiful Bangor.
We get searched on the way into Mexico, and they went through all our suitcases and everything, and they actually fined Stephen for bringing two laptops.
Why?
They made him. They said he had to declare if he had more than one laptop, so he had two, and they made him pay the tax of the price of the second one. So because it was an old MacBook, he had to like show how much it was worth. So it was only like 700 quid or something he could get it for, and then they made him pay $140.
I've never heard of that before.
They said you have to pay a tax on any electronic goods after one per person. So I was like, hopefully they don't fucking say I have two iPhones on me. I was like, what the fuck? So it's just, you know what it's like? It's just fucking...
I always bring my iPad Pro on my laptop.
Usually when I travel, I bring my MacBook, a spare MacBook, an iPad Pro, and two phones. And I was like, I left the spare MacBook at home this time when I was traveling because I just don't use it as much. I have the iPad there, but they didn't... the iPad was in my backpack and he didn't search it. He just searched my suitcase. But he shied himself because I go to him whenever he goes to open it. I goes, if you open it, you close it, because I goes, I can't get it fucking closed. And he just looked at me as in to say, like, go fuck yourself, and just bust it open. And when he opened it, I mean, my clothes actually fucking shot everywhere. And he was like, he started laughing, and I goes, fuck's sake. And he was like, he just looked at it and was like, I'm not even gonna search this shit. Like, there's no chance anything else is in here. Sure, as soon as he opened it, there was a tripod.
And this was in Mexico?
Like, yeah, yeah, it's the only place, yeah. Everywhere else has been fine. I think I'll be home now on the 1st of September to the 19th, so maybe do the in-person podcast. Last week's was a bit of a shamble, probably the audio quality on me outside fucking breathing out more, but that was funny. That was hilarious.
Oh, the amount of replies I was getting on that was unreal.
Hard to believe it's been a week.
It has been a week, exactly.
Time goes so, so quick when it comes to that. Like people, like, I know we're in the routine and we're in people's ears every week, but like from one podcast to the next, it's such a strange concept because it feels like a week, but at the same time, it feels like 2 minutes ago I was talking to you. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think time, it goes quicker and quicker as you get older. I just noticed the week started rolling the months so fast.
So how long have you been away for? All together.
In total.
From where? So where was it? You went to America first. No, it wasn't America first, was it? No, it was Marbella.
I was in Spain first.
Yeah.
So I flew out to Spain in around May. So I done 9 weeks in Marbella in total. I think it was 9 weeks. 9 weeks roughly, or 8 weeks. So say 8 weeks, say 2 months. I done 2 months in Marbella. Then I was in home for about 12 hours and flew to LA. I've now done probably about, so I done, say May 15th, so May to June is 1 month, July, or I'm way about 3 months now, about 13, 14 weeks.
Fuck.
That's the longest I've been, and I'm here for at least another two probably, so that'll be about 4 months. I've been away for about 3-4 months before, but this will be probably the longest stint.
Yeah. And then home to, do you know what you're doing after September? Dubai?
I'm doing September. I'm home for 19 days or something. I'm going to do an app meetup on the 9th because I'm relaunching here Monday. If you're listening to this, it'll be relaunching on the 20th, so 2 weeks roughly.
Yeah.
I'm going to do an app meetup on the 9th of September. I don't know what I'm fully going to do. I think I'm going to go with like a sunrise in Newcastle Beach and get everybody coffee or something. I was considering Helen Bay as well because I think it's just handier. Do you know what I mean? Like Newcastle, you have to walk down it and all. It can be tough to get caught. So I don't know. I want to bring somebody in to either bring in coffee or bring in free, like bring in food. So I'm going to try and organize that.
If you don't, even if you don't Brompton, my friend owns a coffee shop here in Bangor.
Yeah, see, something like that would be good. It's trying to get where people will go for the travel because I want it for sunrise. I would like to ideally do coffee for everyone and breakfast. Do you know where, like, you turn around and you, like, I need to get numbers, obviously, because I'm going to invite my one-to-one clients, my mentorship, my hybrids, and my app people, and I think Caroline might mix in the sunrise, so it could be quite a large crowd. But I would even like to just cover coffee and breakfast for everyone. Do you know, even if it's just fucking poached eggs and toast or something? Do you know, just... so if there's a local businessman that wants a bit of extra business and wants to set up a fucking, but like, it'd be ideal to have something just on standby there where it's easy. But yeah, no, gonna do that meetup home for that wee bit of time, and then off to that side of the world for Dubai. I have to be in Dubai for October, but I don't know how long I'm gonna stay out there in terms of just in Dubai, but I'm thinking probably at least a month and then just float around that side of the world, which is a good problem to have, Mickey. A very good problem to have.
Somebody texted me the other day, you are living the life. Well, text about my life. But I would say the same about yours. I will be that side of the world in October.
Oh, will you? Where are you going?
Big announcement. Can't make it yet. Not allowed to make it. Under comp. But
it'll
blow people. No, it's not Dubai, but it'll blow people's minds when it's announced.
Very, very interested.
Topic wise, this week we've been hitting a few messages, and one of the things was we were asked about
a lot of praise for last week's episode too.
A lot of praise,
thank you very much. I appreciate that.
A lot of praise from people that didn't even know. Like people didn't. I didn't realize. I shouldn't say I didn't know. I didn't realize we're listeners. You know, wait, but you never know who, you know, that is one of the things, you don't always know until somebody says, D, you know, oh, fuck it, I'd never miss it. And you're like, jeez, I didn't even know you listened. But one of the things we're talking about is about pushing through when things get hard. We talked about last week, about dealing with bad weeks and stuff, but we never actually dealt in about the, you know, what it takes to push through it, or, you know. the other elements that's involved in it, because it's one of those rabbit holes where even when we talk about like having bad weeks, you never actually get in the nitty gritty of really dealing with it. Like, we did give away at the end of the pod a couple of like action steps that we take, but there's a lot more to it, and I think a lot of people kind of took from last week's podcast about what we said about the funk, about just being in a wee funk. It's not like, it's nothing to worry about. Like, a lot of people, that's one of the things that I get hit by a lot of people, where says, you know what, it's refreshing to hear someone saying, don't worry if you're having a bad week.
Yeah, absolutely, sure. Me and Steve, we were talking about this yesterday. I call it like, you can lose your mojo for like a week or two, or a month or two, or half a year. Like, I felt like I lost mine after the breakup and all, and just felt shite, didn't feel confident, wasn't really looking after myself in terms of like, wouldn't get my hair cut as often, wouldn't dress as nice. And then I spent time at home working on myself, and I felt like it sort of semi-clicked, and then I was like, yeah, that's me back. But then all of a sudden I hit like a newer level and goals, and I was like, oh no, that's actually me back. I was almost not bluffing myself, but I felt like it was back, but it didn't feel fully right. Yeah. And then the thing is, it'll go again, and it'll go for a couple of days, maybe not as long as time, and then come back. It's like, uncertain days, I feel like I could walk with any woman now and chat them up and flirt and all, and there's days where I'm just like, I'm not feeling this on flow. And that can come down to anything. That can come down to your sleep, your mindset, one message or text from somebody, or somebody saying something that throws you off. So just realizing that, obviously, I'm not saying that your environment dictates or what happens to you and that controls you, but it can have a knock-on effect, and that's why resetting can be very key. But it's very tough to stay in flow all year round and stay like in the groove and feel good. You know, it's normal to have that knock-on.
Do you think during one end period you were going easy on yourself? Like, you weren't holding yourself to your normal high standards?
Don't know. I actually probably say I was probably the opposite. I was probably
being hard.
Too hard myself. Yeah. I think then you're being overcritical and you're overthinking and you're almost beating yourself down rather than building yourself up. Like, we are, everybody is their own
worst critical.
Biggest critic. Yeah, they are. Like, as much as there's people that are laid back and all, like, you'll pick yourself apart from everything, you know, like, that could be better about you, about your, what you're doing. Like, no matter how many things you get done today, you'll always be like, oh, I probably could have done a wee bit more. You know, there's most people listening to this are like that sort of individual where they feel like there's more they can do on most fronts.
Yeah.
So it does make a big difference whenever you've got somebody saying to you, like, we're all like that. And then it's just taking a bit of a breath and realizing that that's part and parcel of who we are as individuals. And there's pros and cons to that. Like, if you're that sort of individual, you probably will go far. You'll probably find contentment a little bit harder to get, so you need to work on that. Whereas, for example, an individual that doesn't push the boundaries as much might find contentment a lot easier, but then finds maybe fulfillment and like long-term satisfaction harder to get because they're not striving for as much.
Yeah. Oh, big. I think...
You're with a few gaps.
Yeah. I think if you're hypercritical of yourself and... you know, you're very self-aware, I think they're normally the people that do a lot better because they hold themselves to a higher standard. It's the same as like with me with music. Like, the standard I hold it myself to, and I can, that means if someone says to me, like, I would say I do rate myself as a DJ, and the reason I rate myself is because I'm very critical. I'm so critical of myself. I'm more critical of myself about than any other person that I book to play music.
But if you don't rate yourself as a DJ, that speaks volumes, because your own opinion of yourself is the one that matters most.
Oh, because you're standing up there on your own. And if you say, like, I've had gigs where I've played bad, and I know I played bad, and I was annoyed with myself. But then the following gig, it's in your head going, fucking don't fuck up this one too. You can't have two bad. I always say, you can't have two bad ones in a row. Can't have two bad ones in a row. So, but you're up there all on your own, and there's people there. And you're having these kind of internal thoughts to yourself. This needs to be good. This needs to be good. And then you just have to say to yourself, well, you know, you've worked hard at this. You know what you're doing. Just do it. Just do what you do. But there can be like small reasons, like even their sleep, being in a bad mood, just having a bad week, having a bad day, being rushed. Like, DJs love, and this is one thing, and musicians do it too, and if there's any musicians, Neil Collins will know this, you love to blame the crowd. Neil's probably listening to this now laughing. You love to blame, like, the crowd weren't up for it. Just sometimes we're not up for it, never mind the crowd. But as a thing, we can always lie to ourselves and go, it was just a bad old crowd, it was a dead old night. But really, you know, our job doesn't change. And I think actually Neil said that to me before, it doesn't matter if there's 100 people or 2 people, the job doesn't change. Them 2 people need entertained. But I think there's probably a fine line between too hypercritical too. There would be people that would go too far, but if you've worked on your self-awareness and you hold yourself at a high standard, but don't go to the point of, like, you know, something stupid. Like, if you play football, don't expect to be the best in Ireland if you aren't the best in Ireland. You know what I mean? You know, yeah, there has to be a bit of realism too in the whole thing, because like, sometimes people, and especially in this day and age now, people do need sometimes a dose of realization in their life, because they don't get the word no to them said too often. They get, it's all yes, yes, yes. It's all, I can do this. Or you look at someone that's doing something and go, oh, I could do that as well. But realistically, you probably can't. If someone's really good at something, like when you're doing your push with your content, there's no way in life that I could do that. Like, the amount of effort you put into your content, the amount of videos you churn out, everything you do, there is not a chance in hell, and I know this, I could not do that for that long of time sustained.
Oh, mate, it's burning. It's fucking, it's tough work.
And it's also the same way as I know most people could never podcast for 178 weeks in a row. It's just not in them. Like, it's not, even though, I know, for us it's a wee bit harder because we're all over the place, but I know people that would look at that and go, fuck, that's just absolutely insane. But that's okay. That some that's not, no, it's not for everyone.
It's just, for me, the thing that builds me most as a confident individual and as a person in general, and where my life is today, is it's just work ethic and pushing through any issues that I've got. And I think the main issue a lot of people find is that most people will have, but if you've never pushed through anything to a stage where you're ready to quit, really good example is like university. You can't really be fucked doing the dissertation. It's late, it's melt as fuck, and you push through it, and then you get the reward of graduating. Like, that's usually a lot of people's first time. For me, it was probably getting abs. I just kept hammering my abs and eating fucking chicken, beans, and potatoes until I got them. And eventually I got them. And then when you get your goal and you tick off a goal, then it gives you momentum to take off the next one.
Yeah.
And you learn that the more you push through the hard times, the bigger the reward, the bigger the satisfaction of it. And the funny thing is, it's usually not the goal that really matters. It's what you get as an individual from it. It's like all my work ethic that I built up over the years, from like getting abs, getting into the fire service, building a little bit of a business, working them late nights, has allowed me to build the work ethic and the discipline and the routine and the know that I'll get rewarded in the long run whenever I hammer content for a year. Like, I done content for a full year there, doubled down, reinvested more money, hired videographers, hired editors for a full year, and dropped 6,000 fucking followers. That's what most people usually have as a following. I dropped that doing all that and just was like, right, well, I'm going to double down. I'm going to hire a different editor. I'm going to tweak this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to spend more time scripting my content. I'm going to double the time that I'm filming. Rather than lean out, I was like, I just need to lean in. And then, boom, it popped after about 4 or 5 months of doing that again. So it took about 14, 15 months of just hard pushing for it. But I would never have built that up if I hadn't have done the smaller things first. So it's almost like taking it step by step, like not doing it all while simple and make my bed for a month, but something as simple as that builds the discipline, builds the routine, and that is like your muscle. You'll only be able to overcome the bigger stuff if you can overcome the weird things first. Realistically, like, don't get me wrong, I don't believe that you have to make your bed or have to get up at 5 a.m. to be successful, but for me it's one of the things, like, if I can get up at 6 a.m. every single day, it gives me a better chance. And that's just one routine ingredient. Do that for a month or two, then you layer on top. It's almost like habit stacking, like James Clear says, but for discipline stacking.
Yeah.
You pick goals that you can not easily get, but that are a wee bit out of your sight. And then over time, you'll notice, like, right, well, posting Instagram content for 3 years in a row isn't actually that hard of a goal. You can get it done, because I've done, Joe, I've trained every day for 6 years before that. So like, I trained every session, not missed, for 6-7 years before that. So it's not that, it's not impossible to me. So it's not impossible to anyone, but usually you'll find layering up your discipline works very, very well. If anybody's ever tried that before, it's like when I turn around to people, I'll be like, right, yeah, I know you hate veg, but can you eat one veg a day, even if it's just fucking 3 carrots? Yeah. And people are like, oh, I don't like it. I'm like, right, well, eventually when we eat 3 carrots enough time, you'll not give a fucking, you'll add a fourth or you'll add a different bit of veg. And then over 6 months now, you eat 5 to 6 veg a day, you feel better, your energy flows, you've built discipline, you've done something you didn't want to do, and then you layer that up with other things, Joe, getting up early or whatever it is, and then these build your character, build your traits. Because without realizing it, I do feel like if you don't click it and you're not self-aware, and I think self-awareness is, as you said, it's a caveat, it's a double-edged sword. You get real benefits or you get real negatives. If you don't monitor it, you can be too self-critical in yourself. Yeah. If you don't have it, you'll end up being lazy and you'll pick up things that you don't want and makes you unhappier. So I do feel like it's really that double-edged sword and balance.
It's like a superpower. You can become the yeah, villain, or you can become the hero. It's like a superpower.
Yeah,
because it could really put you in the wrong path, and you could turn into a narcissist, really, in a way. But also without having it, I don't think you would do as well. I think people with good self awareness always seem to do a bit better. But that was good, like what you were saying there about the routines, bang on. I don't know who the hell I was listening to. I was listening to some guy came on podcast, and he was like, everybody's mad to set goals, short term goals, long term goals, monthly goals, yearly goals, 5 year goals. But he goes, but some of the same people don't plan their days. He goes, so why would you not? You're planning for all these goals, and you're planning the steps to get these goals, but yet you don't plan out your day, and then you struggle and you procrastinate a bit. So he was like, he was talking about getting into routine. So he's like, why would you not plan out your day, or at least plan out maybe 4 days in the week, and then have the rest of the days where you just kind of shoot the breeze and do what you do?
I feel like as well, that's like skipping step one and going straight to step 10. Like,
yeah,
I do believe that you should be planning out like roughly. I don't think you need 5 and 10 year goals and all this. Like, I do think a general vision and roadmap where you're going, but I think it's more showcase of, right, well, focusing on the day to day tasks that are going to get me there. Like, obviously, I want to, Joe, live a better quality life. I want to, Joe, I've had some really big goals, and I actually ticked one off pretty much. I think I'll be able to pretty much announce this, but like, my sister's pretty much coming on as full time now. She's leaving her job. So like, that's been a major goal for me for a long time period. Like, I've been very nervous around it, but the thing is, how did I go about that? Like, I had that rough vision. I do believe a deadline works really well. Like, I used to cram 5 year goals into 1 year goals, and that's great, but it's fucking asking for burnout. But I do find that if you have a general vision and then you think, right, well, what are the steps that need done on a day by day basis to get there? It's like if you want to get abs, although you may not have all the fucking know-how, or you want to be really, really successful, and you want a really good quality life, like, what are the routines, the habits, the behaviors that you think will help there, and then lean into that? Like, for example, like, you might not know what you'd want to do whenever you get up at 6 a.m. and you might be like, right, well, fuck, but getting up earlier is probably going to help you more than staying up late. So, right, let's focus on just nailing that routine. Even if we're just getting up to fucking enjoy breakfast, relax, and have a coffee, it just builds you as a person. Like, it's simple things that, like, people get sloppy and they're like, oh, well, there's no point in getting up early because I'm just going to work. It's not about that. That mindset, yeah, that's the issue. It's building that character. Like, for example, like, I just get up early every day, not because I'm like, oh, grind mentality. It's because I just feel better going to bed early and getting up early. Versus if I sleep into 9 or 8, 9, 10, I feel like the day's run away. I then feel rushed for the day. I'm not as good. I'm not as slow. Worse. If I get up at like 5:30, 6, then boom, my day is already, like, I'm already 3-4 hours into working for podcasting now. So you're laughing, do you know what I mean? You just, and then I think, like, what routines, like eating good, training good, like all that looks after me and then builds me as the person I want to be.
Do something for your brain every day.
Something for your brain, something for your soul. Yeah, I think it's key.
But even getting up is doing something, like, it's like the cold plunge thing. I have one of them Lumis. I won one of them cold plunge things. I haven't used it. I'm not big into cold stuff. But there's the thing I like in it about it is it's making yourself do something you don't want to do. And I think that's a that's a big thing. Like, I just don't like the cold. But I think it's good. What would it be? Mental strength or whatever it would be. It's forcing yourself. Like, no, like,
you're strengthening that muscle. It's like working out every day. The more you strengthen the spin muscle, the more.
Yeah.
Like, if you ice bath every day for 30 days, the 31st day is a lot easier than the first. It's
do you, when you get under the cold now, do you still find it?
Oh, it still sucks every time.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck what anyone says. There was a stage where me and Ryan were doing it daily outside, and it got a lot easier. Now, he done all of Lent. I think he got 103 days. I got to about 75, and then I think somewhere around the 75 really, I actually just generally I think at the day, just like I got up and I had to travel or something, and it just didn't happen.
Yeah,
but I was dipping every day flat out and found it so good for my headspace, so good for my mindset. Now that I feel like that discipline muscle's been training, yes, the cold water still really helps day by day, but I almost find taking like a month away from it and then going back, it like builds my discipline again, and I layer it up with routines. But it's one of the things out here, I still take dips daily, but it's just not the same. I take cold showers, but there's a difference between like going full outside. But I do believe the reason that people still do it daily is because every time it still takes
a lot of willpower.
Yeah, like
I've got it set up outside the back. I haven't used it yet. Like,
there's a cold plunge pool here in the jungle gym, and it's cryo. Like, you adjust it by computer. It's Baltic. It's way colder than anything I've been in. I could only get in for about a minute, but the colder it is, the shorter you're supposed to stay. But yeah, look, it's one of the things where I feel like it's personal choice. You don't have to technically do that, but then if you can get up early, you don't have to, you don't have to ice bath, but you can ice bath, or you can get up early, or you can make sure that you're not eating out more than twice a week. You know, there's these discipline, these routines, these habits, and they build you then push for your hard times, because I believe these are what make your character, and that's why either makes you a soft individual or makes you a very hard break person. Because if you've had loads of cushion and you've not really been challenging yourself, not been building yourself as a man or as a woman to be more than you were the prior year, then when life throws a brick at you, and this is me being honest, like whenever my dad dies, I like to think that I'll be able to be the man of the house. Like, I'll be able to, somebody you can lean on emotionally, financially. I can support if my mum's there, if my sister's there. I want to be that person. Me and Daniel Dorgan talked about this at the event. It's one of the things where I feel like that's, even having that in the thought process, like, are you somebody that can look, are you somebody that you want to be? And I want to be that person that, like, it makes a difference to other people's lives. Do you know what I mean? And I don't want to be like the person that, if something like that happens, you crumble. Do you know, like, if I lost everything, I lost my Instagram, touch what I don't, I lose my business, everything goes, like, I have no real doubt that I could build everything from scratch again pretty handy, like, not handy, but over time, over years. It'd be annoying as fuck, but I'd do it.
Yeah.
Versus if you've not got that, you've not got the discipline, you've not got the routine, you've not built the character, then that's the problem. That's where, like, you see these people that blow up to 300,000 Instagram overnight, and they've almost hit the jackpot. They haven't got the character for it, and then you can see over time they start crumbling. And you can see they're stall out. They haven't got the work ethic. They haven't got this. They haven't got that. It's the same with people who hit their physique for a certain time period. You can hit it for a short time period, but it's very tough to do it over the long haul. And when you build your character through them day-by-day actions, them week-on-week actions, them month-on-month, them year-on-year, then you build who you are. And I feel like character is all you have. It's like your name. Like, that is who you are at your core. Like, when everything's stripped back and you take the money, the family, you take your job, you take all that, all you have is your morals, your values, and your real character, who you are deep down. And you have to look at that. And I think that tells you a lot about yourself. And your character isn't who you're born with. Your character, morals, and values are developed over time. The problem is most people aren't trying to develop character.
No, they're trying to skip to the good parts, to the parts that they hear in the self-help books. They read about, instead of building from the foundations of your own character and who you are and what you're about, they skip to the money makers and the boys that are selling the books tell you to do. But
it's like these people who just listen to podcasts and just read books and they don't implement anything.
Don't implement anything. We talked about that before. Like, it's mental. Like, it's mental amount of people that do that.
That's knowledge whore. That's just somebody who wants to binge knowledge like Netflix and almost talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And the best of it is, like, after reading the books and reading everything, they have a majority of the answers themselves, but yet they'll still ask the question when they know the answer, but they just don't trust their own, as in a way, their own character. They don't trust that they have the answer or they have the tools. Like, as Tony, as you said a million times, everybody's got the tools to get themselves in shape. No, everybody, like, everybody knows kind of roughly what to do. No, it's not reinventing anything. Everybody kind of knows what to do, but most people need a helping hand or their hand held for a while, and then other people need a bit of extra accountability because they love accountability. Like, I love accountability. I love people hold me accountable.
It levels me up. Like, yeah, there's a reason I still have a coach myself. Like, it's not because I don't know what to do. It's because, like, I'll work harder.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and it's a lot of time, like, maybe years ago, people would have seen that as a weakness. But it's not. Like, everybody should have someone in their life that holds them accountable to something. It's like when you talked about character, you know, when you look for a partner, or look for someone, like, one of the first things you look for is, are they dependable? When the shit hits the fan, are they going to crumble or are they going to be there? And that's what I build myself on, is being dependable. I think I'm a very dependable person.
Very hard to know somebody's character, though. That's where I think you get it over time, Joe, in terms
Yeah, well, character is something you learn of someone. But I don't think you can fake.
Learn whenever they get a bad time or you get a bad time. That's the problem a lot of the time.
No, I think if you're, like, in a relationship with someone, you'll find out their character not pretty quickly, but quick enough. But I don't think you can fake character for a long time. You know, that sort of way. I think you would be. It's one of those things where you can't fake it. You just are what you are. You know, you either work on it or you don't. But I don't think people can fake character. I think character is one of them unique things. It's authentic about each person. Each person's very different. But as you said, yeah, the thing you find out most when something happens or a situation that's not ideal,
you when find shit out hits the fan, that's when you learn what you're made of.
Well, that's true. That's also the way you learn your friends. You know, you learn your friends when the shit hits the fan. Everybody wants to be friends at your highest point. There's only the real friends want to be your friend at the lowest point. And that's sad kind of society thing, but it's very true. Like, it's very, very true. Like Tony will probably notice it now. I don't even know if this is true or not. The Tony's following's growing. You'll see a lot of people come out of the woodwork and go, "Want to do?"
Also, I've never got more support, but I want to highlight, I've never had more hate in my entire life as well. So
I actually seen one earlier for the first time. I watched a video, and it's a local guy.
I can't even see it anymore.
And I looked at it, and I was like, you listen to this podcast. So he's listening to this now. I know he listened to this podcast. And I'm like, why did you do that? But it was just stupid.
Do you know what it is? It's one of them things where people will try and, whenever somebody's growing really fast, there's always a chance for somebody to probably grow in the opposite direction. But I feel like it's one of them things where people just, and this is me going straight, I don't like saying jealousy, but it's one of the things where I'm going to trigger people based off the fact that it's going so well, so fast, and that's going to happen. You're always going to get friction, just as you get, just like everything. The more you push in one direction, the more that I'm leaning into content that's quite fucking vulgar, funny, very manly. My audience on Instagram now is about 89.4% male. It's getting more and more male by the day. So, like, obviously I'm triggering females for something, but it's because I'm being more and more blunt. I'm speaking more and more in my mind, even whenever I'm doing stories, like, even whenever I speak in general, like, I'm speaking more like I do as a person. Like, you'll notice if you listen to me the podcast now, I speak obviously quite deep in podcasts, but, like, I have no problem turning around and, like, I would eat a dinner in a restaurant and turn around to my family and go, "Oh my God, that would blow the cock clean off you. It's unreal." And Like, I, like people be like, that's so crude and so dirty and so wrong. But I speak like that. So, like, if I say that in the gym, like, I was in a restaurant. I was in Brito Moore, the place I've done the podcast outside. And the owner, like, I'm in there every day just getting food. And he just goes to me, he's like, I love your accent. You know, he's talking. He goes, what I love most about the way you speak, he goes, is you don't change sayings. He goes, you say things that don't make sense. And I goes, what? And he goes, you said the other day that something done your tits in. And he was like, I've never heard that ever. And I was like, Joe, you don't realize, like, wee things like that. And that's probably an Irish saying, but it's one of the things where he goes, he also said, clean off your tits the other day. I didn't even know what that meant. He goes, I had to Google that. And he was like, because I think he asked me, what did I think of the sauce or something? I was like, blow the tits clean off you or something. Because it was fucking spicy.
Mexicans learning County Down Armagh sayings.
That's it. Well, a lot of them sound fucking, they're fucking accents, mate. Some of them sound American, some of them sound, a lot of them have spent time, I didn't think there'd be as many. New Zealand, like everybody that works in the Brito Moore, like they're all like, they've got these twangy, like,
follow us on, you see.
Mexican, yeah, Australian, New Zealand accent. I'm like, you're not from Mexico, like, you don't even look like it. And then boom. Do you know what though, anybody that is, sorry, yeah, keeping character, it's one of the things where it's gonna make you, I feel like there will be time periods in your life where you just need to have it, because you're gonna get challenged. Like, your family, like, people in your family are gonna die. That shit, it's gonna happen. You or somebody you love is gonna get cancer. There's gonna be challenging times where you could lose your job, you could be in a car crash, you could get a disability, you could, anything can happen at any time point. And based off what you've done prior to that moment will dictate how you respond, and because you'll turn into auto drive. Like, when shit hit the fan there for me in, like, the end of the year last year, if I hadn't have had my character, I honestly feel like I'd be in a bad place, like a very dark spot right now. Yeah. Whereas, but all that led me to being able to actually manage to go, right, this is what smashed to fucking pieces. I need to pick up whatever pieces I can and start putting myself back together bit by bit by bit by bit. Yeah. Not big chunks, bit by bit. And if I didn't have the work ethic to put that into my own personal development, that's why you'll notice I didn't push business, I didn't push anything for the first 6, 4, 5 months of the year. It was just, I need to focus on me, need to focus on building this up, building my character, focus on building my confidence, because you have no energy for anything else. So the thing is, whereas if you don't have that actual thought process, that character built from prior times, you're gonna crumble. And that's the problem with a lot of people. They get a little bit down because a situation happens, their mum dies, their dog dies, somebody gets cancer, they get a bad hand, they get left to work, they're not happy with their job, they're girlfriendly, whatever it is, and you haven't built the character, so you crumble. So that's why you need to be building it constantly, because that is your foundation, because you will get ripped down to that, to the core. And what you've done during even the semi-decent time is what's going to support you. And if you're not there, it's going to fucking shoot you in the foot. And that's also to do with building your support network around you. Like, I was so glad of my family during that time period. I was so glad I took care of them prior, whenever I was on the up. Because whenever I came tumbling down, by fuck, did I needed support. I don't give a fuck what anyone says. So it's that case of also nurturing people around you. Now, not everyone will be there, but really looking after the right people as well.
Yeah, no, that's definitely, like, even when we were talking, like, I think it was like one of the first,
that was gold.
Well, that was gold. Clip it. If we had a producer, it'd say clip it.
Baby, stick it up. Woo.
When we that's one thing I'm so thankful that I started working on myself years ago, because when lockdown happened, I'd have been fucked. Like, I would have been fucked, and I'm so glad that the years prior that I did some work on myself, because I just know lockdown would have been bad for me. Like, really bad. And that was one of the reasons, that was probably one of the reasons why I didn't mind lockdown as much, because it also gave me a lot of sort of reassurance that the work I did prior was good work, and that it'll hold me for the rest of my life. There you go, guys. 40 minutes
of bliss.
The greatest podcast the world has ever heard.
Very good.
I'm going to go to my bed soon, because I haven't been to sleep yet. But guys, thanks for everything. Thanks. We got a couple of new reviews in, went into the charts again, and it's all deadly. Please keep sharing your stories, because that is the big thing. The stories makes the difference. Tony's back in September. We're gonna go back down to Dublin. We're gonna do more in person. So there's gonna be videos popping out again, and he will release his information about the app. So watch out for that too, and the meetup thing.
28th of August. Light it up.
Light 12 it up. Noon. 12 noon.
UK thing. 12, whatever, midday.
Aye, 12 noon. No, it's just a wee bit late. I thought you'd be a 9 a.m. boy. No, just like Ticketmaster, you know, when they put the big concerts on.
Yeah, fuck's sake.
Right, guys, thank you very much. I'll see you later.